The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, the US president has reignited his feud with the Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni ahead of the NATO summit in Ankara, which begins today. Donald Trump posted a picture of Giorgia Meloni smiling at him on Truth Social with the capitalized caption, "Restraining order needed." So what could happen and what else are we expecting at that NATO summit? Alistair Bunkle is with us, Sky News Europe correspondent. Good morning, Alistair.
Morning, Claire.
I know they're discussing lots of important things, but there'll be a lot of eyes on that meeting when it happens, when the two of them are together.
Yeah, there will be. This is a NATO summit that needs to show unity. It's a NATO summit that will focus largely on Ukraine, and Vladimir Putin will be watching it very closely. And any splits that he sees between the allies, and there's a number of areas where they can disagree on, I'm sure he'll pounce on it. So Mark Rutte, the Secretary General of NATO, and others will be keen that this goes ahead smoothly, a bit like the G7 did the other day in Evian, where, like, even if they don't ultimately have some big grand outcome, and they might do, but at the very least, making sure that they look as though they're a united alliance, which has not always been the case with Donald Trump in the White House.
Just going back to this row between Giorgia Meloni and Donald Trump, he accused her of begging him for a photograph, and now it has gotten to this point. But he seems to be driving it on with this Truth Social post, and we don't really know why, do we?
Yeah, I mean, this has certainly been driven by Trump, although Meloni, as is her character, hasn't sat on her hands and just sort of taken it on the chin. After Evian at the G7, he suggested that, you know, she was begging for friendship in order to boost her own popularity. She then hit back with a video of her own saying, "Italy and I beg no one," and also suggested that Trump shouldn't worry about her popularity back in Italy and should focus on his own back in the United States. This time round, and the latest post that he put about needing a restraining order was one of about 100 posts that he put on Truth Social in the space of about 8 hours. So an absolute deluge of kind of social media posts. I think this time she's taken the approach not to respond and just to sort of hope that it washes over. I don't know whether she's had other European leaders, other major NATO leaders in her ear saying, "Look, just, you know, let this one slip. Let's not try to antagonize the US president." So we'll see whether it works or not. Trump is hard to read. I think European leaders in particular and the Canadians have had more success recently hitting back at him and showing their own strength, which is clearly what Meloni was trying to do initially. But actually, if you look at the example, you know, Trump has got an issue with women. Look at the way he treats female journalists in the United States and the things that he says to them, often are pretty disgusting. Their approach is always just to not rise to it, you know, stick to the journalism, keep questioning him, interrogating him as the leader, you know, as journalists should, and not, you know, as I say, not rise to it. Maybe that's the approach that Meloni's now going to try and take.
And I see one of her ministers is saying, "I didn't pay any attention to it. I don't have any reaction to it." But then the leader of the smaller opposition party has called him a despicable, cheap bully. And as you say, it might be more advisable to take the Italian government line, which is just to ignore it and forge ahead.
Yeah, exactly. They've clashed on a number of things. It kind of all sort of started brewing up because Italy was by far the only country but decided not to support Trump's war in Iran. But they, you know, they did that in a somewhat of a concrete way. They refused to allow U.S. use of an American airbase in Sicily to conduct missions over Iran. That obviously annoyed Donald Trump, as did the position of many European countries with that war. I think maybe Trump sort of would have seen Meloni as a political ally when she came to office. She's right wing, he's right wing, probably thought that he had sort of a kindred spirit in Europe, but she hasn't turned out to be like that. She hasn't sort of turned out to be a lapdog for the US president in any way. That's not her style. Then you've got the issue with the Pope, who's American. Obviously, he's not Italian, he's American, which is why Trump's had a pop at him so many times. But because the Vatican is in the center of Rome, there's always that Italian connection to it. They sort of feel a bit of an ownership, I think, over the Vatican, if I can put it like that. Mm-hmm. And so they have been very defensive of the Pope, which no doubt has also angered Donald Trump. But it looks, as I say, at the moment, like the Italian government, maybe because we're on the eve of the NATO summit in Ankara, it looks as though on this occasion they're just kind of let it wash over and hope that it won't resurface in Ankara.
Now, elsewhere at the NATO summit, Donald Trump is expected to put more pressure on his allies in Europe to spend more on defence. Does he, Alistair, want them to go further than the 5% of GDP that they've already committed to?
I think 5% of GDP would probably be satisfactory to Donald Trump. I think the problem is that a lot of countries either are, you know, not actually putting money where their mouth is, or they're not coming up with decent plans to get there. So, I mean, if you look at the Italians, to go back to Giorgia Meloni, I think they spent about 2.1% of GDP on defence, you know, which is way below what really actually NATO is an alliance, but certainly Donald Trump think countries should be spending. Look at the British, they've released a defence investment plan that falls way below 5%, falls way below what actually military chiefs in the UK think they need to be spending. So I'm sure the Americans will have something to say about that. You know, defence spending is an area where a lot of people, you know, who know about security issues believe that Donald Trump has a point. Now, the way he goes about it, and has always gone about it, I remember covering a NATO summit in Brussels where he, you know, threatened to walk out. The way he's gone about it is very Trumpian in style, and a lot of people don't like it, but it has given a lot of European countries a kick up the proverbial to up their spending. I mean, look at Germany, they are now taking action. But I wouldn't be surprised if that is the kind of the running sore throughout the next 48 hours.
Mm-hmm. And as you said at the beginning, Vladimir Putin will be watching this with interest, particularly in relation to this pledge for Ukraine, $70 billion in military assistance package, or euro rather, for this year alone. It's an extraordinary figure.
Yeah, it's a huge figure. I think the burden will mainly be borne by the European countries. The EU as well has released huge amounts of funds to Ukraine. It's getting to the point now where Europe in particular, whether it's kind of through NATO, whether it's through the EU, whether it's through just unilateral British spending, the European countries are now very much the dominant donor to the Ukrainians, which is why we've now got into a conversation about whether the Europeans have a seat around the negotiating table, whether or not they establish a point of contact with the Kremlin, etc. Donald Trump didn't want America footing the bill, the security bill, or otherwise, for Ukraine, a country many thousands of miles away from America, a war that he thinks America should have very little to do with. The Europeans, over the last year or two, therefore have started to step up, in fairness. And this will be yet another example of that.
All right, Alistair, we'll leave it there. But thank you very much for joining us. Alistair Bunkle there, who's Europe correspondent with Sky News. Now,
the Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.